Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 15, Number 2. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was on PSN, Principles of Sports Nutrition, Number 30, pH Balance. All food consumed, regardless of source, has a major impact on the alkalinity and acidity of our blood and interstitial fluid. Living in a chronic state of acidosis means that we are not only consuming acidic food and drink, but also living a lifestyle that is continuously bombarding us with acidic waste. Ultimately, these epigenetic, or aka environmental, conditions forces tissues and cells inside the body to give up their limited alkaline reserve, and then slowly but surely we deplete them all. They're gone. Zip. Nada. If you know anyone with cancer, heart disease, diabetes, or a chronic infection, suspect an acid component. Most people have an overall acid balance of 80% when their food is analyzed. This is way off the mark. It should be half of that or even less. So your diet should be mostly alkaline by eating alkaline foods, and some acid is acceptable and also essential. Human blood has a pH of about 7.35, so that's alkaline. Remember that 7 is neutral, and anything over 7 is alkaline, and anything under 7 is acidic. This must be maintained at a constant rate to sustain life in the body. And so what the body does to sustain it is it takes all this acidic waste, it tries to buffer it, and one way that it tries to buffer it is to take from where it's stored in the body alkaline minerals like magnesium and calcium and potassium and zinc. It uses them to interact and buffer the acid. So you can see that if these things are not coming in the diet, the zinc, the potassium, and you're using them up from the inside because of all the acid coming in, it's just chemistry. It's just logic. It's just a matter of time. Now, negative emotions like fear, anger, worry, and anxiety generate acid. People that live in this state are acidic just by their thought life. Adrenaline and cortisol, which are, you know, neurotransmitters and hormones that actually are produced by the body, in this case the adrenals, they acidify the body. The hurry sickness, as it's called, of modern life is a primary cause of pH imbalance. People that are in a hurry all the time are acidic. Exercise generates acid waste too, but it has more value. It's more positive than negative. But it does generate acidic. So athletes with an acid diet can add insult to the situation. Whereas rest and relaxation has the opposite effect. Calming, meditation, walking around in bare feet, that's alkaline. It alkalizes the body. This is all part of the pH game. The key is to be on top of your game. Okay, on this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is exercise, cognitive function, and energy. The benefits of controlled exercise and physical activity in all its varied forms are as infinite as the universe. There are billions of planets, stars, and galaxies, and quite possibly an infinite number of universes. Known as multiverse theory, these universes comprise everything that exists, the entirety of space, time, matter, energy, and the physical laws and constants that describe them. And so it is with exercise. If you want to get closer to your inner core and essence, if you want to peer into your own soul, try running up a steep hill until your thighs and lungs burn like fire. Only then will you know truly why you're alive and what you're capable of. Squat your own body weight until failure. Skip fast on your toes for 12 minutes straight. Kick a punching bag 100 times. Swim across the Mississippi. Try an hour of Ashtanga power yoga, and the list goes on and on like numbers themselves. Exercise is beneficial to every cell in the body, every neuron, every cardiac cell, and every muscle fiber. Human cells number in the trillions. Exercise strengthens every cell membrane, all connective tissue, and improves the integrity of every organelle housed within each cell. Exercise is also enormously beneficial to the human microbiome, which is a vast aggregate of bacteria, fungi, and microorganisms. Exercise has a beneficial impact on gut microbiota diversity. This is attributed to strenuous workouts and a higher intake of protein, which is typically synonymous for most athletes. Ask me to name all the stars in the Milky Way, And for the same reason, I'll tell you why it's impossible to count and identify all the benefits of exercise. But just for fun, let's define two that are irrefutable. And to do that, I'm going to draw from a huge data bank that scientists have collected and stored in a knowledge vault for centuries. This vault is open to the public, but few ever venture in. It has six primary departments called human physiology, human kinetics, physical education, kinesiology, exercise science, and most recently, sports nutrition. Each department represents an academic discipline of research and study taught in most colleges and universities worldwide. So let's begin with what really matters, your brain. Tons of studies have recently shown that moderate to high intensity exercise can increase, now get this, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or the acronym which is BDNF. Now, this enhances synaptic plasticity, neuronal functions of the brain, and certain growth factors. BDNF stimulates neurogenesis, increases resistance to brain insults, and improves learning and mental performance. Thus, exercise is not just important for our bodies, the physical tissue, but also for our minds, our consciousness. But let's get to that word I mentioned. Let's get back to that word, neurogenesis. Do you know what this word means? Do you understand the significance of anything that can stimulate neurogenesis? Neurogenesis refers to the growth and development of neurons. Neuro relates to nerves, and genesis means the formation of something new. We used to think that the nervous system was fixed and incapable of regeneration, but in the 1990s, adult neurogenesis was demonstrated in non-human primates and humans. Unfortunately, many of us still believe in the outdated false notion that once shot due to abusive behavior or neglect, the brain and its damaged neurons were forever lost. Not so, my friends. If you want to rebuild, regenerate, and restore your brain at any age, start dancing, start running, weightlifting, swimming, cycling, or playing your favorite sport. Your butt is the new brain, and I'm going to coin that term. That's a CHI copyright. I'll say it again. Your butt is the new brain. I love that. Get it in gear, and nature will provide new neurons and an entire substratum of neural pathways, tracks, and connections. Of course, it gets even better when exercise is combined with optimum nutrition. Supply your biological demand. This is the CHI Prime Directive, emphasized throughout the CSNA education program. When exercise and optimum nutrition are applied with equal force, you are truly in alliance with wisdom, logic, and genomic science. Let's focus on one more exercise-derived benefit, the significance of which I believe is monumental. It's called energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, energy. In physics, energy is defined as the capacity to do work, and that's exactly what exercise, when performed correctly, is designed to do. This is why soldiers, athletes, firefighters, police officers, and modern intellectuals exercise. They understand the rules of the game called reality. They understand that their capacity to perform well is absolutely relative to their physical shape and condition. They also understand that everything required to work out and train consistently, including dedication, discipline, and determination, stems from the mind. Regular exercise releases and increases the production of an enzyme called AMPK, or 5-adenosine monophosphate activated protein kinase, which affects cellular energy and metabolism. AMPK travels to the brain, setting off a series of reactions that are linked to increased myelination, the white matter or insulation between neural connections, which in turn is associated with better memory performance and quicker, more efficient learning. The benefits of increased AMPK are greatest in the area of the brain associated with self-control, the prefrontal cortex. This is why patterns of exercise motivated by logic and discipline lead to more confidence and self-control in those who actually show up and do the work consistently. So if you're consistent, you become more consistent because of the effects of the consistency. The brain actually gets healthier when you do this. It gets bigger. It actually gets bigger inside your head. You know, the space gets used up, and it gets brighter when you train. And this is why Socrates, who was the teacher of Plato, and Plato, who was the teacher of Aristotle, and Aristotle himself, they all prescribed exercise, or what they called then back in Greece, this is going back 2,300 years, 200 BC, they prescribed it as a way of life. They said, you've got to grow from the dirt. You've got to get in the dirt, and you've got to understand what the rules of the game called life are. And the best way to understand them is to play sport and train and exercise. You got to build the toughness inside of you, like a Spartan. So here's a question for everyone out there. What happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? Now think about that. I'll say it again. What happens when an unstoppable force, a force that cannot be stopped, meets an immovable object? When it meets an object that cannot be moved, what happens? Does the entire universe explode? No. This is so cool. Theoretically, in physics, this is what happens. They pass through each other with no effect. It's just like someone walking through a wall. That is so cool. And this is what physicists and some really smart people have come up with in terms of the theory, because this idea is just a thought experiment. I don't believe there's any such thing. I don't think that anyone knows of anything that's unstoppable or immovable, but it's just a thought experiment. And it brings up an example of an analogy that I want to talk about now. Whatever is holding you back from exercising consistently, if that's the case, or from exercising at all, whatever it is, whatever this force is, identify it and then let it simply pass through you with no effect. Let whatever is bugging you, let whatever is eating you up from the inside, let whatever excuse you've got not to do what you know you should do, whatever it is, let it pass through you. Don't resist it. Don't stand up against the wave. Learn to ride it. The incentive to exercise emanates from the conceptualization of its necessity. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Afro-Caribbean psychiatrist, philosopher, revolutionary, and writer, Frantz Fanon. Sometimes people hold a core belief that is very strong. When they are presented with evidence that works against that belief, the new evidence cannot be accepted. It would create a feeling that is extremely uncomfortable called cognitive dissonance. And because it is so important to protect the core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and even deny anything that doesn't fit in with their core belief.